Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Hello, Rolene.
Hello.
What's happening in the state of Israel?
Well, let's take a look at our COVID stats because it is something important and it is something that affects South Africans. And why, you are going to ask me? Well, I'll tell you. Well, I know that many of you have been concerned that South Africa was on the red list of countries. You know, Israel is following a robot model. Some countries call it a traffic light model, but we'll call it a robot model. And it's whether or not you are red, orange, or yellow, or a green country that's completely open. So South Africa, for a while, because of your high infection rate and because of your low vaccination rate, was a red country, which meant that South Africans were banned like other countries, because I know some people have been saying, yeah, it's very unfair, but South Africans, like several other countries, were banned from entering Israel. We were banned from visiting South Africa or would have to face a very hairy hefty fine. As of the 16th of August, South Africa is now an orange country, which is the same as the United Kingdom, the United States, and actually most of the world. It's not discriminatory. It's not singling out South Africans. You're not alone in this. This is something that other countries have had to endure as part of our system here. And what it means is that if you do come to Israel, please, please, please check with the health authorities here. Check with what documentation you need. Check with your own local authorities if you can travel. What it means is that you will have to quarantine for a minimum of 7 days on arrival and, of course, take the mandatory coronavirus test. So just to update you on that. Countries that are yellow countries, which means they only have to isolate or quarantine for 24 hours pending the results of a corona test, are countries like Austria, Australia, Hong Kong, Hungary, Moldova, New Zealand, Czech Republic, China, but South Africa, you join the US, the UK, and the most of the rest of the world by being an orange country, and red countries now are Bulgaria, Brazil, Georgia, Mexico, Spain, and Turkey. So if you're listening from those countries and you want to come to Israel, unfortunately, now is not the case. But we do have rising numbers of corona. It is largely due to those who have not been vaccinated. Some of the statistics being released today, along with statistics that are finding that those who are having the third vaccine, the immunocompromised people, are finding that it does form a great barrier against the coronavirus. So this is where we are standing at the moment.
Rolene, I cut you short yesterday. We didn't get to the last segment, which was about a blast at a Gaza resort that targeted individuals, and the blast has been blamed on ISIS. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, isn't this incredible? Now, this is a story that, in my opinion, should be making the mainstream media. There's a luxury resort on the coast of Gaza. Yes, these resorts do exist in Gaza, that hosted what they call a mixed gender concert. So this is where people of both genders, I know some people believe there are more, if you do, that's fine too. And they were allowed to congregate and enjoy the concert without being segregated. And a Salafist group that largely identified as ISIS supporters or ISIS members threw explosives at the revelers, causing, of course, a lot of damage to the resort and some serious injuries. But this is a story that failed to make the major news headlines, but really, really should have, because it shows you the level of intolerance that people in the Gaza Strip live under. that's very often blamed on Israel. You know, a reminder to our listeners that we have pulled out of Gaza. We are not present in Gaza. Yes, we do control our borders with Gaza, and we do have a maritime blockade in place along with Egypt. But as far as what happens inside Gaza, that is under the control of Hamas and sadly many other terror groups that have infiltrated the territory.
I believe the EU Parliament is a little bit upset about certain diplomats that were sent to the Raisi inauguration.
Well, this is very, very interesting. So a group of members of the European Parliament, they've sent a letter to the European Union foreign policy chief. His name is Josep Borrell, and they've actually expressed their disapproval over a decision to send a top representative to Tehran for the inauguration of the new president of Iran. That's Ibrahim Raisi. He is an extreme, extreme hardliner. He's the man they call the executioner. And if you have been present on social media, there is a picture that's doing the rounds that shows him seated behind such luminaries such as the chief of Palestinian Islamic Jihad, Ziad al-Nakhala, and Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh. And of course, making it a trio, Hezbollah deputy chief Naim Qassem. They were all in the front row at the inauguration of Ibrahim Raisi, and seated behind them was this EU representative. And they've said that this should never have happened. He should never have attended this. You know, Iran's flagrant disregard for human rights, their violence, and they quote from the letter saying, they are ignoring Iran's violent and destabilizing regional policies. Sending such senior representation to the inauguration of a president with such a dark record at the sensitive time contradicts European commitments to uphold and stand up for human rights. Now, this comes at a time when Raisi will be investigated for his role or his reputation as the hangman of Tehran. He apparently executed thousands of political prisoners and opponents. This was in the late 80s. And also, it comes at a time that we see increased terror on the high seas backed by Iran and carried out by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, one of them being the merchant ship, the Mercer Street, which saw a British national and a Romanian national being killed on this drone attack. And we've heard a lot of the international community, including Israel, the UK, the United States, Romania, and Liberia, appealing to the UN Security Council and the international community to clamp down on Iran. So it's very, very interesting and very telling that the European parliamentarians have now said that this kind of action will not stand.
And in closing of the last minute, tell us more about this line that needs to be drawn between the political parties, etc.
Well, this is a very, very interesting question, and one that comes up a lot. You know, where is the line of legitimacy between, you know, legitimately criticizing Israeli political policy or Israeli policies, and where does it become anti-Semitic? And there's a fascinating article in the Jerusalem Post today. It's written by Dan Dyke, and many of you will be familiar with his writings. And he poses this question, you know, saying, I don't agree with it. The settlement policy, or I don't agree with this policy or that policy, that's legitimate. I mean, it's the national sport here in Israel to question the government. But when it comes down to, you know, issues like BDS or calling Israel an apartheid state or a Nazi state, using those kind of analogies, we've crossed into that very, very dangerous and dark territory that is anti-Semitism.